With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning to you. I feel like it'll help you wake up and shake the cobwebs out if you actually get up and yell, Friday! Sometimes it works for me when I have to talk myself into it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We have a bit of a hodgepodge on this Friday morning. We're going into a football weekend, of course. It's the Heisman Trophy weekend. It's Army-Navy weekend. It's also week 14 in the NFL. And so a lot to talk about on the football field. And we're taking your Football Friday phone calls. 855-212-4227. We've also got your NFL weekly poll up. What's the game you're most looking forward to? We've given you four. You always have the option of writing in or quoting the tweet or on Facebook. We put the whole darn schedule up there so you can pick whatever game it is that you want. It is Pearl Harbor Day, the 77th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And I am one of those people that loves to go back and watch interviews with men and women who survived Pearl Harbor. And it's mostly men that are interviewed. But pretty amazing. If you've never Googled it, there were 2,400 servicemen and women and civilians who died. But there are some who survived and who are still alive. Pretty incredible to hear their accounts. If you're a history buff, I highly recommend it, especially we're going into a weekend, you've got some time. It was one of the most significant events in our nation's military history. And while it was excruciating, it definitely changed the course of World War II and really got the United States involved to a point where it was all in and declared war and helped to end that world war more quickly. December 7th is also Larry Bird's birthday. And for me, that is significant because as a kid growing up in New Hampshire, I didn't know a whole lot about sports except I really liked to play them. And then I started watching and listening to the Boston Celtics and fell in love with Larry Bird's game. My favorite all-time athlete, he is absolutely one of the reasons why I decided I needed a career in sports radio. So I told that story earlier. If you missed it, well, you can get it on our podcast, afterhoursamielawrence.com. But in light of that, we're asking you, what athlete did you watch as a young person? I guess it didn't even have to be as a young person. What athlete is significant in that he or she kind of roped you in, sucked you into being a sports fan? Kind of changed your whole perspective on sports. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, along with our show poll, and then on Facebook as well. Easy to find. And then I mentioned our number, 855-212-4227. Let's go back to our phone lines, which are nearly full. Matt is listening in Houston. Matt, welcome to After Hours.
It's a pleasure and an honor to talk to you, Amy.
Thank you.
I really enjoy your show. I cut cable a year ago after Hurricane Harvey.
Oh.
And so I've been relying totally on sports talk radio. And
oh, dear.
Other than the visual highlights, I actually like it better. I honestly do.
Okay. Well, I'm a radio junkie, too, and you can always get highlights on your phone. But sometimes sports talk radio gets so over the top. So, you know, take everything you hear with a grain of salt.
Right. There's actually a tie for the player. It's a tie between two guys. It's a tie between Earl Christian Campbell, the mm-hmm. Tyler Rose,
yeah.
and Roger Staubach of the Dallas Cowboys, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I was 8 years old, Earl's rookie season with the Houston Oilers. It was my first year playing Little League football, and it was that whole Love You Blue movement just showed up in Houston. Actually, since y'all were talking about the Dolphins, it was that Dolphins Monday night game when Earl – made his national spotlight on that Monday night. And to furthermore, the Dolphins stole the Houston Oilers fight song. They did. So.
Oh, they stole it.
Yeah, they stole it.
Oh, okay.
But it was those Monday night games, and then I went to the Monday night game against the Steelers in 78 and 79 where we held up the blue cards and we turned the Astrodome completely Columbia blue. So that was just that movement. And then the Cowboys were always on TV when I was a kid.
Of course.
And
yeah.
and to see Roger just, gosh, just true grit, man. I mean, if you actually – really got. I didn't get to see him play in person. I saw Earl play a million times in person, but to see Roger just get up and lead the team. And actually, his very last game at Texas Stadium against the Redskins in 79. And if you go back and you look at that comeback, that I mean, they were down like I think by two or three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and he brought them all the way back. And it was just like over and over. And he was getting hit by. You know, those defenses in the 70s, the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Steelers. I mean, he was just such a tough guy. So I picked sports management as my major at A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And when I really got to dig into Roger and Earl's lives, that really just changed a lot of things about me. You know, their
cool.
upbringings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I haven't ever met Earl, but I met Roger twice. And the second time I met him, I think it was like 3 or 4 years apart. And he actually remembered my name. And that just really just completely blew me away. So it had to be those two guys, man. When I see guys in the NFL, I know rules have changed and things like that. But when I see guys not digging it out, I mean – I know, you know, with health and things like that, the different climate, but those two guys in my book, man, you know, that was just, man, nothing can replace that.
Good.
I'll give you Larry Bird.
I hated
the Celtics. I hated the Celtics growing up. I did. But, you know, once you get older, you appreciate guys like Larry Bird and Joe Montana and, you know, people like people that you just hated, man. And then, like, as time goes on, you're like, man, you know, Larry Bird, man. Because he's never in the conversation. It's always Jordan and LeBron.
He isn't. Well, he's in my conversation about the all-time greats.
Because like, I'm sitting here, I'm going, does anybody ever remember Larry Bird or Dr. J? I mean, I'm going, gosh, dog, man.
Hmm.
So, anyway, I'll go ahead and let you go. But I just wanted to say those two guys are my top two. And fingers crossed for Tillman Fertitta. Bringing an NHL franchise to Houston, Texas.
All right. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate the phone call. Let's see. Let's talk next to Brad, who's in Flint, Michigan. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio. Brad.
Hello, Amy.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Me too. Long time listener, long time fan, long time caller. just calling about, you know, I'm a Michigan fan, of course. I know all my teams are local Detroit area teams. I'm north of Flint, or two counties away.
Okay.
But my main thing is, like, I'd love to see, I know Houston, Detroit, Cleveland, and there's another team, I can't think of the name, that's what the question was, is do you know the other team that hasn't been to the Super Bowl by any chance?
The other team that hasn't been to the Super Bowl? You said?
Yeah, besides Detroit, Cleveland, Houston.
Are there four?
Yeah, there's four, if I'm correct.
Would you like me to Google it for you?
I mean, I was going to do that, but...
Jacksonville.
My main concern is...
Jacksonville.
They're ripping out... Jacksonville. There you go. You're right. I'm sorry. They're ripping on our Matthew Stafford. I think he's a great quarterback. The local teams here are ripping him, tearing him up. We're tired of him. He needs a new town. He needs to go south, Texas, wherever. My main thing was, like, can we figure out why... A great quarterback has to be pushed away by local media.
I don't think that's possible.
No, and I don't think either. But I just was like, that's what I said. I know I'm kind of off work tonight. I'm long day, 14-hour day work. But I listen to you every night, like I told your
caller. I mean, he just signed another deal. So unless they trade him, they're not going to cut him, obviously. It's the devil you know, the devil you don't know when it comes to quarterbacks. And while Matt Stafford's not going to go down as one of the best in NFL history, he has all the tools to be a very good, he's above average quarterback. He's a great arm. I think he's really smart. You talk to guys who played with him, and he does everything he's supposed to do. I just don't know that the Lions, outside of a couple of years, right, they've really had everything all together and have been able to put all the pieces in place at the same time. So when they have Matt Stafford, they don't necessarily have a running game. Then they have the offense, but they don't have the defense. And then they have the defense, but they don't have a complete offense. I mean, it's just, you know, they trade away Golden Tate. Like, it just is, it always seems like it's one thing or another with the Lions. So, I mean, it's easy to blame the quarterback, but think about how many different coaches he's seen, he's played with, different offensive, well, they've had Jim Bob Cooter in there. But just think about the number of changes in personnel, the number of changes on the sidelines that he has survived in Detroit, and that also puts a little perspective on it.
Exactly. And that was, I just wanted to get to that point. But I know that, I hate to say it, but there's probably, I don't know what the percentage is, it could be 50-50 here in Michigan or the U.S. Wait till, if, I'm not saying it'll happen, but if they win a Super Bowl, I'm wondering if it's 1% or 30% or 50% will be, oh, I was never a Lions fan, but all of a sudden they're at the parade. That's when we were bringing up, me and a couple of guys at work were like, yeah, they'll be at the parade. They'll be at the parade.
Oh, everybody loves the parade, man.
Yeah, but so anyways, love your show. I'll keep listening.
Thanks.
Great show. Great person you are. Wonderful, wonderful family. Go your team. And by the way, yes, it is for Harvey, and I'm a Larry Bird fan myself. So
okay, cool. There
you go. love the guy. One of the greatest basketball star players in the world, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I know Michael Jordan, him, Magic Johnson, Detroit teams too, but love him. So God bless cool. You, girl. You keep doing your thing.
All right,
you're
bud.
The greatest. We love you.
Get some
we
sleep.
Love you and Pharrell. So keep rocking it and doing it. We love you guys. We'll call you back.
Okay. Bye. Thank you. he's like me when I don't have any sleep. I get on the phone with my mom and I just ramble from story to story to story to story because I'm so tired that I don't know why. Just bleh, everything comes out of my mouth. But that's good. I hope you get some sleep. It's always good to hear from longtime listeners to the show. 855-212-4227. I'm looking at our Facebook page now, and we're asking you, of course, the iconic athlete in your world that turned you into a passionate sports fan. So I'll run through a few of these. Jay says Magic Johnson. Watching him lead Showtime was incredible. His command on the floor was awesome. Yeah, Magic Johnson was a player who could defend pretty much any position on the floor as well. Bobby on Facebook, Nolan Ryan and Roger Staubach. Anthony says Muhammad Ali was my idol. Andy, I know it sounds weird and no one will ever say this, but me, it was Danny White all the way. Oh, I disagree with you there. I hear from a lot of old time Cowboys fans who would say Danny White is someone that they revere. Let's see. Benji sends me a list of probably 30 names. I don't think we're going to go through all of them, but we'll pick a few. He says Bart Starr. He also throws in Jerry Kramer, Paul Hornung, Ray Nitschke, Marv Fleming, Brett Favre, Sterling Sharp. So he's a true cheesehead is what he says. Steven on Facebook, football, Derek Thomas, baseball, Dale Murphy. Willie says Johnny Unitas and Brooks Robinson. You can really tell the flavor, right, of where people grew up. And a lot of times that's what affects us and gets us to be sports fans is kind of the geography where we were fortunate enough to live in. But not always. I mean, I grew up in New England, and I'm a Broncos fan. But I did first discover the Denver Broncos when they were playing the New England Patriots. That's actually how it happened, watching a game against the New England Patriots. So there is a tie there. Let's see. Dave on Facebook. Steve Carlton, Steve Lefty Carlton. Jordan says Dan Marino. Tim, Larry Bird. Robert says Roberto Clemente and Mario Lemieux. Ben, Daryl Strawberry. Chris says John Elway. John says Tony Dorsett. Ah, his name coming up a lot on Thursday night because of his 99-yard touchdown run back in 1983 that was tied as the longest play from scrimmage, and longest rush from scrimmage in NFL history with Derrick Henry of the Titans. Let's see. Jamie on Facebook, Isaiah Thomas, Tony Fernandez. Craig says definitely Larry Bird. And then John says Robin Yount. And another John says both Brian Urlacher and Larry Allen are his reasons for being a football fan. So there's a lot there on Facebook. I'm going to get to some of your tweets as well. A-Law Radio. You guys are blowing it up now. You're as excited about a football Friday and the weekend coming up as I am, which is cool. That's always the goal, to put you in a good mood. And it's a football feels and a Friday feels show, to be sure. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thank you for all of your tweets, all of your Facebook posts. I love the fact that they're coming from all over the country and that so many of you fell in love with sports because of an athlete that I would never even think of. I mean, I know who some of them are. Some of them, not all of them. Some of them are before my time. But to hear and your names, to see these names and to hear from you on the phones, it's kind of cool. You realize when you start to think about it, the scope of a nation of sports fans, that there usually is a significant event or a team or a player who kind of sucked us into this life. For better or for worse, we've been sucked in as sports fans. And if you truly have the bug, there's nothing you can do about it. No matter how much you might swear off your team, there's absolutely no way that you can ever get rid of your sports-loving heart. If you are a true fan, you can't quit it. And you don't really want to. And so my love for basketball, my transformation into a radio junkie, my desire to work in sports radio for a living, that was born out of my passion for Larry Bird and the Boston Celtics, and he was my all-time favorite athlete. And so I'm asking you, who's that athlete that kind of sucked you into this life, for better or for worse? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page named after the show. Then our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Let's talk to Aaron, who's in Oregon. Aaron, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Are you on a Bluetooth? It's hard to hear you.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm in the car. I'm hands-free.
Okay, well, you're going to have to yell because you sound like you're in a tunnel.
I'll speak up.
Okay.
So, for me, it was the 89 Giants and the A's, the Battle of the Bay.
Ah.
And, you know, they had the earthquake, but right. I was a diehard Kevin Mitchell, Will Clark fan, the dynamic duo.
Sure.
And then you had the Bash Brothers. You had Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire on the Oakland A's.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Those were, you know, those, and that kind of just pulled me into sports as a young child. And then, of course, with the earthquake, it was, you know, there was major drama in the Bay. And that was before Mark McGwire grew tree trunks for arms. He's kind of a normal guy, just like Barry Bonds.
Yeah, I remember. I remember that, yeah. That day, the earthquake. I'm trying to think where I was. Well, I guess I would have been in New Hampshire, and certainly remember the significance of that. And it was pre-social media, right? So it's not as though you could start to see the tweets come in about how there was an earthquake, and it wasn't like that. It was pre-internet, and it was before Al Gore invented the internet. And so you kind of heard about it on TV or on the radio, and the news was slow. You didn't really know what was happening. You kind of had to wait until the updates would come in. I can remember seeing the pictures of, you know, the day that the World Series was stopped and the World Series went dark. And, yeah, that's an unforgettable moment for baseball fans, to be sure.
And just to touch on about Pearl Harbor, you know, looking back at Ted Williams is before my time. But, you know, I really can't think of any player that would just stop their career, join the service, and then come back and finish it. Like, not today. I don't think anybody would do that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Pat Tillman did. I don't know if he was ever going back to football, and I know it was a few years ago, but he in response to what happened on 9/11, he quit football and he went to serve.
Yeah. But anyway, that's all I had to say.
All right. I appreciate that, Aaron. Thank you so much for your call from Oregon. Also, Alejandro Villanueva. I mean, he served for. So there are people who've served in the military, I guess, who are now in professional sports, is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, in terms of like quitting, going away, and then thinking you're going to come back, that's different. But we do definitely have veterans who are now professional athletes. 855-212-4227. Let's see, let's work on another one here. John is listening in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours. John.
Amy, good morning, Amy. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Been a fan here for a while now.
Cool.
Love your show.
I appreciate that.
The only player that I can think of growing as a kid that I loved the most was Dr. J, Julius Erving.
Yeah.
He had the hands of magic.
Oh, and he defied gravity too.
Oh my God, yes. he was one of the best, you know. And I remember watching him on TV, you know, sitting with my dad and just having those good moments growing up in the 70s. It was wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, it's such a different time too, because you really only got the game that was on TV. Right, you didn't have all the local networks, the regional networks. You certainly didn't have the NBA, the NHL, the NFL networks. None of that existed. You got the game that was on TV. But a lot of times, that's what shaped our, not just our viewing habits, but our sports fandom. I would say a lot of people that I grew up with, either guy friends of mine, even my brother, early on decided they were going to be Cowboys fans because that was the team that you saw on TV every single week. My grandmother, my maternal grandmother, who lived in Ohio, she would watch the Indians. But also she had TBS, so one of the early cable networks, and she would watch the Braves every night. And so she became a huge Braves fan because of that. So a lot of times for those of us who are older, pre-849 channels on our cable package, we got whatever was out there. And that's kind of how you became a fan. The teams and the athletes you got to see all the time, you developed a natural affinity for them.
Yes, yes, yes. And I tell you, those also bring back good memories as well.
Yeah,
and
they do.
I appreciate everything you do, and I listen to you every morning.
Awesome. Thanks so much, John. Have a great Friday.
You too now. Thank you.
855-212-4227. Your responses are now pouring in on social media, which is cool. Some of you even have decided you're going to send me photos or GIFs. Oh, goodness. You guys are so much cooler than I am on social media. And that includes producer Chris, who's the GIF master. Not the grill master, the GIF master. All right, let's go through a few of these on Twitter. And if you would like to include your name, that'd be awesome, because a lot of you have Twitter handles that I can't read on the air. We're not talking about FCC violations here, but just that I would feel a little bit odd reading on the air. So maybe you could send your name too. Edgar says Pudge Rodriguez made me fall in love with baseball and then sports. Let's see. Another young man, he says, as a 20-year-old from Ohio, it's got to be LeBron for sure, depending on who you watch when you were growing up. I feel bad for those people who never saw Larry Bird or Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson play live, who never saw Wayne Gretzky or Joe Montana. But it is what it is. You are however old you are. And LeBron definitely shaped a lot of sports fandoms, including this 20-year-old from Ohio. So thanks so much for listening and weighing in. Rudy says, I grew up in the 80s, so there's so many. I'd go with Jerry Rice, Wayne Gretzky, John Stockton, and, of course, the GOAT, Michael Jordan. Al says Cal Ripken Jr. Let's see. Cody says Gary Payton. Derek says Larry Bird's hands down, much like you, I grew up an 80s Celtics fan, and being able to watch Bird helped me to become a passionate sports fan. Gerard says Ricky Williams, hook 'em. Let's see. JD sends me a tweet. I appreciate those of you who are following for the first time too and answering the question. JD says, although I was spoiled with Cal Ripken as an O's fan growing up, Greg Maddux got me to be a lifelong baseball fan. Best pitcher I have ever seen. John on Twitter, when I was a kid, I was a huge Gary Carter fan. That's who got me into baseball. Then other sports followed. Favorite NFL player as a kid was Joe Montana. Daryl says Archie Griffin, OSU. Kirby, Barry Sanders. Thomas says Isaiah Thomas when I first started playing basketball. Thomas says Isaiah Thomas. And then Steve sends me a GIF of Akeem Olajuwon. Does it have the finger wag? No, it doesn't. I feel like everything you have with Akeem Olajuwon, it can't be complete without the finger wag. All right, we have to take a break because we have to. So send me your tweets. Again, include your name, please, if your Twitter handle doesn't have your name. or on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's a Football Friday. We can talk about the games coming up, too. 855-212-4227. It's not only Pearl Harbor Day on this Friday, December 7th, but also my all-time favorite athlete is celebrating his 62nd birthday. Happy birthday, Larry Bird.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Early to single back. They will run him through the right side. The 10, the 5, untouched to the end zone. Touchdown, Todd Gurley. Touchdown, L.A. With 6:53 to go in regulation, the Rams are out to a 22-13 lead. Goff under center. He takes a snap. He gives to 30. Gurley bounces it to his right and rides the surge into the end zone. Touchdown, L.A. Todd Gurley with a we not me move to run some more clock deep in this fourth quarter. He turns down a long touchdown and eventually gets it, his second of the day.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We have one team that has punched a ticket to the NFL postseason, also the first division winner of the year, and that's the Los Angeles Rams. Todd Gurley with a massive day. And if I'm not mistaken, you picked him as Monday MVP. No. He lost out to the rookie, Philip Lindsay, didn't he? That's right. So we had a pair of running backs going back and forth. But Gurley's certainly had many of a weekend in which he has been Monday MVP. JB Long with the calls on the Rams radio network. So now you think about what the Rams have to play for. Well, of course, they're thinking about holding off the Saints if possible for that top seed and the home field advantage. It may not be the same kind of home field advantage as what you'd get at the Superdome in New Orleans, but the Rams, if it comes down to it, don't want to play at the Superdome in New Orleans. Nobody wants to play except for the Saints at the Superdome in New Orleans. And so for the Rams now, what they're trying to do is to pad that lead. They have to win the number one seed outright because they do not have the tiebreak against the Rams. And this weekend, it's a challenge, maybe even to top every other challenge that they have gone, they faced this year. They've gone against a lot of teams, really talented, but the Chicago Bears defense is a whole different animal. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jared Goff gets the distinct pleasure of snapping the football, knowing that Khalil Mack is on the other side of that line.
Yeah, he's a great player. Obviously been great for a long time and great player in this league, and we avoided him week one, and now we got to face him in whatever week we're in now, and can't even keep track of it, but it'll be fun. I'm excited to get a chance to compete against him, and he's a great player, and it'll be a good challenge for us.
I mean, I kind of feel like that sometimes. What week are we in exactly? But yeah, this is going to be a really juicy matchup. I hope that it is. The 11-1 Rams, one of the top scoring teams in the NFL, against the Chicago Bears, who lost in overtime to the Giants last week. And they have got, I don't want to say the Vikings are breathing down their necks, because that's not accurate. The Vikings didn't pick up a game last week because they lost to the Patriots. However, that is still a division that's open and available. And the Bears, too, they don't want to fall too far behind, even if you might think that the byes, the one and the two seeds in the NFC, are out of reach. It's not technically true, but the Saints and the Rams are setting a torrid pace. You've got the Cowboys right behind you, who've won four in a row. Do you want to be the three seed? Do you want to be the four seed? There's a major difference there in who you might face in the next round or who you might be hosting. So something else to keep an eye on. The Bears are not sure yet, or maybe they're sure, but we're not sure whether they will have Mitch Trubisky back under center for week 14.
He looked good. He was throwing the ball strong. He felt good. That's what I was, hoping for yesterday when I talked to y'all in the morning. And I thought everything he did yesterday, showed that, he's where we were hoping he'd be at.
So that's Matt Nagy giving an update, kind of. He's good. He looks good in practice. Maybe they are waiting until the last second to announce who will be the starting QB. But obviously, when you're talking about the Bears, the first thing that comes to mind is that defense. It's aggressive. It's fierce. I've said this before. I feel like the Bears finally have an identity again. since the retirement of Brian Urlacher, that defense has been wishy-washy. It's got no teeth. It's bears without. It's like an old bear who's lost all its teeth. It didn't have any type of an identity that made you fear like the old bears. And so to have that defense that can keep you in games, it's huge. And Vic Fangio is the defensive coordinator upon whom Matt Nagy relies a lot.
I have that confidence in him and his guys every week. I think that he's kind of shown what he could do, not only just this year, but in years past. He's seen so many different offenses. He's a complete student of the game from a coach's perspective. He's really smart. He understands it. He's seen it. His library's huge, much bigger than mine. And so he's seen it all. And I think that's a huge advantage when you have that. It's a good thing.
Yeah, neat relationship. If you think about Matt Nagy, relatively new in his coaching career with a defensive coordinator who's got a lot of experience in Fangio. And then it reminds me of the relationship between Sean McVay and Wade Phillips in Los Angeles, right, who will be on the other side of the field from these two. You've got the oldest, one of the oldest coaches. I don't know if he is the oldest. He might be. Wade Phillips might be the oldest coach or the oldest coordinator in the NFL. If I'm not mistaken, he's 71, 72. And he's with the youngest head coach in Sean McVay. But McVay has said over and over how much he relies on the wisdom of Wade Phillips. By the way, if you have not seen classic Coach Phillips, if you have not seen Coach Phillips standing in front of the microphone talking about the Bears offense, he gives you a synopsis. So essentially he's asked for his scouting report at a press conference. And if you haven't seen it, I retweeted it, A-Law Radio. It's classic Wade Phillips. So if you go to, it'll make you laugh, I promise. And the look on his face, if you go to my Twitter page, you'll see it. If you just scroll down a little ways, it's worth your 15 seconds. 855-212-4227. Mark is listening in Texas. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I just want to say how you doing, first of all.
Good, thank you.
First game I remember going to, my dad when I was a little kid took me to Cotton Bowl to see the Cowboys play, and Dandy Don Meredith threw 4 touchdown passes to Bullet Bob Hayes. At that time, was a record that anybody had ever done that before, and that was an awesome memory to be there and see that.
I bet.
I've been a lifelong Cowboys fan, and so many great Cowboys over the years. I just think about Tony Dorsett tonight with this guy running the ball for 99 yards for a touchdown.
Yep.
He kind of ticked me off. He broke or tied Dorsett's record. But
I mean, Dorsett's still there on the top line. Did you hear it, by the way, Mark? Because we played the call earlier from CBS. Do you want to hear it?
Well, I heard it.
Okay, good.
I was listening to the game on the radio. I heard it when they did it.
Yeah, oh, good. Okay.
I heard replays of it through the highlights and stuff, too. And, of course, the game I'm most interested this weekend is Cowboys and Eagles. And I just wonder if you think Cowboys got a shot of winning their division this year.
Well, of course they got a shot. They've got the lead right now, and they've got the 4-game win streak. Of course they got a shot. I mean, they got to take care of their business. I like the defense. I feel like the defense has matured. To add Sean Lee back in the mix is going to be interesting, right? I mean, it's he's a great player, and he's a guy that if he's healthy, he's a game changer. I don't think that it will upset the defense at all. Just it's a means of incorporating him back in now. But that's a nice boost for the defense as well. He's been a major voice for Leighton Vander Esch. And having this game in Dallas is going to be huge, too, because I feel like the fans are now completely on board and ready to kind of will this team to victory.
Well, I appreciate it. I listen to you a lot. I appreciate it. You have a good evening.
Thanks, Mark. Good to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Frank is also in Texas. We are killing the Lone Star State right now. Go ahead.
Hi, Amy.
Hello.
My name's Frank, and I'm going to try to shortly paint you a picture of a more simpler, carefree time. I'm 65 years old now, but when I was a small kid, you know, around seven or eight, had a friend that his mother worked at Baylor. So we got into the Baylor games free. And some days, if you wore your Cub Scout uniforms, you got to sit in the end zone free.
Aww.
And we did that quite often. I was raised in a little town that's just north of Waco, the one that had the fertilizer plant explosion called West. And anyway, when we would go on Saturday afternoons in our Cub Scout uniforms, they had a couple of games during the year. You got to – at the end of the game, there were no wands. It was no wands when you went into the game. You didn't get wanded. There was no terrorism back then. very little, so nobody was – the Cub Scouts got to go on the field after the ball games and co-mingle with the players. I got Donnie Anderson's chin strap. I got a guy from Syracuse. I can't remember his name. He's a running back. Larry Little, his chin strap. But Donnie Anderson was the big chin strap. And then his mom, for my birthday, I was 8 years old, got me Ronnie Bull's picture autograph. He was a running back, All-American running back at Baylor, and then got drafted by the Chicago Bears and played for the Bears a few years in the 60s, Ronnie Bull. And so those were simple times when and great times back then in college football. And, you know, you had heroes back then that you could look up to, men and coaches that you could look up to. And, mm-hmm. and I just thought I'd call and share the story with you about getting to go down on the field and try to talk the players into getting their, giving you their chin straps. And that was a cool thing, man. Just, you know, so I enjoy your show, and I appreciate you giving me a chance to tell you about a freer, a simpler, more carefree time.
Yeah, and, yeah, I mean,
God
certainly
bless,
different parts
God
of
bless
it.
Sports, and it was kind of a great segue because you were talking about the Chicago Bears. And I had this story about Ronnie Bull, which I'm sure all the Bear fans that are listening that are older, my age possibly, may remember Ronnie Bull and some of the great Bear players and George Halas and that he played for and the good Chicago Bear players that Ronnie Bull played with.
Cool. Well,
there,
thank you, sir.
Soldier Field.
I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. I'm not sure if he met Larry Zonka. I don't think Larry Little played at Syracuse. I could be wrong. But I don't want to infringe upon his memory if he may have a memory and maybe he didn't mean played football at Syracuse. 855-212-4227. Let's do one more here. Thomas is in Brookline, Mass. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy.
Hey there.
So I want to talk about a player that people don't really talk about nowadays is Jason Varitek. He made me love the game for baseball.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my God. The guy was amazing. I think he's the only one in history to win a Little League World Series, a College World Series, a Classic. And I think, I don't even know what the rest was, but growing up, my father always said he's the player to watch because he's the captain of the field. So growing up, that's what I played was baseball and I caught. And he made me love the game for who it is.
Yeah, he was really tough. I loved his toughness. And I liked the fact that he was a leader, but he did it without being a – you know, loud and obnoxious. That wasn't his style. He led with toughness. He led with his tenacity in the way that he approached the game. He wasn't one of those catchers that would, and later in his career, he would take maybe the day off after a night game. But he was a guy that just put so many miles on those knees. He was so good with the pitching staff. And as you said, a captain, which is rare in baseball now. There are, I think, only two teams that have captains right now.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and also, too, he's the most recognized catcher in baseball to catch the most postseason games and the Red Sox player to suit up the most games too.
You know, I was at the game where he took the base of his wrist or the base of his hand and shoved it right into Alex Rodriguez's chin. Yeah, I was there. That was one heck of a game. The Jason Varitek game where he took Alex Rodriguez to task. Yeah, took the base of his palm and just boom, the uppercut right into A-Rod's chin. That's an iconic moment that you see a lot whenever we get replays of Red Sox-Yankees or we're talking about other Red Sox-Yankees series. Thomas, thanks so much for your call from Mass. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.